So hello, nice to see you. I love it. Those of you guys have your video on, not very many of you today, but hello. Hi, Cheryl. Hi, Sharon. Good to see you. Hi, Jody. There we go. hi, Chantal. Great to see you guys. I am very excited for today because I love it when I get to talk about my very favorite things. And color is way up there. So for those of you guys who've been diving into the stuff this month, we've got lots of good stuff to chat about there. But of course, as always, this is your time and we don't have to talk about just the topic of the month. But I expect a lot of you actually will want to talk about it because you were absolutely super excited about it when we were having our implementation day. And I was doing a lot of wait for June. So I know there will probably be a lot of questions, but you know, I always like to start things off by inviting you either out loud or in the chat to put down any burning questions you have to make sure that those get addressed. Because as we get rolling, you know, it can sometimes be easy to have some of the stuff get lost or missing in our rousing conversation. So make sure if there's anything urgent that you really want to ask about, that you are popping that in the chat right now, or raise your hand. And by raise your hand, I mean unmute yourself and ask. So anything anyone wants to jump in with right away? Okay, so Leslie says, I'm sort of rebranding with a nonprofit. A friend thinks I should do Aussie Manic, but I'm worried it'll throw people off. So is this in regards to like, manic as in like bipolar manic depression, or is this like
it's sort of okay, so it's sort of a combination, because like, as you know, like the whole ranch, the brand as a whole does deal with like mental health and trauma and things like that through, you know, like healing through animals and stuff. So we do want to raise awareness, but also it's kind of like a play on like the personality of Australian Shepherds.
Totally. Yeah, I see it. Yeah.
And also kind of a play on like, people don't just have like one Aussie. Like if they like people are either like obsessed with Australian Shepherds or like they're not for them. Yeah. So you see all this like Aussie merch, because she's like, she's been thinking about merch. She's also like a kind of a PR person. She's not as good as you. But she did have a call like right before her call with me with a, like she called, she said a bunch of like pet brand experts or something. And I'm like, yeah, okay. and she's like, and she's just like, before she like was gonna give me advice, and she was just had her mind on like merch and like all kinds of like different ways I could go. And I was, my head was kind of spinning, and she said something like, it would be sort of like a manic pixie dream girl type thing. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna be honest with you, I have to Google that. Like, I don't even know what that is. And then I did, and I was like, I could see that, you know, definitely the 18 to 24 age group, which is like, you know, the main like buyers of like that breed and everything. But these are gonna be like, these are specially, you know, bred to be, and there's, we're probably going to add some doodle in there, golden doodle, because the Aussies can be so high drive. And, my goal is to be helping, you know, to be, we do aptitude tests after day 52 to be able to produce service. Like, we've produced so many successful, service dogs, ESAs, medical alert dogs, PTSD service dogs. And I really want, I want to be donating two puppies from each litter, one to a veteran and or their family, and one to somebody that's a victim of domestic violence. And so, if they want one that's pre-selected, you know, that's aptitude tested for service work, I can do that. And if they want it pre-trained as a PTSD service dog, I can do that, because I've done that. And so we just feel like, we just felt like purebred Aussies might not be the way to go. But to, until I get to that point, because we want to do everything the right way, and we want to be giving back too and everything, she's thinking about merch and like sayings and everything. And she just came up with Aussie Manic. And I do have bipolar disorder, a little manic right now, if you couldn't tell. And I'm very open about it. She said to me, you're this very transparent person. And we've talked about this, like transparency is so huge with me. And I have no shame about it. It's 2021. Like, people are talking about it. My Instagram, my ranch's Instagram, you know, I do a lot of work with Tara Newell, and, you know, there's a lot of posts that aren't even about dogs, or just about trauma or like healing or how to be like mentally healthy. And so even if it gives it a weird connotation, I do, part of me thinks like, well, any publicity is good. Like, any awareness is, at least it's some awareness.
So I think it's great.
You do?
I think it's great.
Doesn't like scare you off hearing like Aussie manner.
No, the only thing that I have a little concern about is if people are going to read it as maniac, if they're going to
that's
assume it's
true.
like
Yeah.
Aussie fan. So I would just play with
We're seeing
Aussie
mania,
manic
Aussie
and
mania.
also like just play with different, like flipping the words in different directions. And I would also just
Aussie
put it out
mania
there.
be, would Aussie mania be better? We're thinking that for like events like that I have at the I'm finally at the ranch. If you couldn't tell, I'm finally here. I did finally got them over with. I wish you could see the view, but I'm inside because the dogs are barking downstairs. And so, you know, I could be doing barn hunt trials, agility, and things like that. So she was thinking like for events that it would sound really
Yeah,
good.
I really like it.
Awesome.
I think put it out there to a couple of people and just see, like, I would try to like put it out there visually to people where they have to read it and ask them to read it out loud, or what do you first see? What do you first read? Just to make sure
Like
people
a
are reading it
focus group.
properly.
Okay. Because what happened was, as soon as we picked this name, I found this house, and in my same county, not even just in my same state, is a woman using the name
The
Starstruck
same
Australian
name.
Shepherds. Starstruck Australian Shepherds. I'm just like, of all of the names, with
I like this though
the
because
two
it
Ks as
really
well.
does tie into the why, which isn't as clear with Starstruck. So I
That's true,
think it's really
yeah.
great.
Okay, good. So I feel a little bit better. Okay. I wasn't gonna feel good about it until I talked to you about it.
Oh, thanks, Leslie. Awesome. Thanks for
And then
sharing.
I did send her like a copy of the PDF of your first like VIP branding package that you gave me because she was asking me about colors and everything, and I was like, oh, that's already been
We got
very
this.
talked about at length and fonts and everything. So here's the entire booklet that she did for me, and like you can read through it. I don't have to tell you all about it because she already gave it to me. So that
Awesome.
was really helpful
Cool.
to already have. But I'm hoping we can stick with the same colors. I feel like it would maintain the brand continuity if we did. So.
Yeah, probably. But any autumn colors will do, and we can talk about that today if you want.
Okay, awesome.
Cool. Thanks, Leslie. Great. Okay, so thanks for kicking us off, Leslie. I love jumping in talking about names, and I think always like looking at how are people reading it. We do that thing with our brains where when a word looks a lot like a word we expect it to be, we kind of just replace it. So it's always good to do some testing if you're not quite sure. Allison says, I have a question, but it's not about color, so others can go before me. Genevieve has a question about a session, not about brand. Okay, I'll swing back to you guys. Anne says, I just joined and I want to say how much I appreciated your presentation on branding and color. Not surprised I turned out as a spring, just starting business and website. That's awesome, Anne. Did you want to say anything about that? Do you want me to unmute you?
No, I
There you go.
just wanted to thank you so much. It was so enlightening, and I just want to make sure, since it's spring, I don't look cheap. So
What sort
it
of
could.
business do you have?
I'm actually starting a dog food truck here in Orlando, Florida.
Cool.
Sell treats out of a truck. It's really more of a rolling retail, but just getting restarted
I
and.
think that'll be fantastic for spring, and I'm guessing a lot of your emphasis is probably going to end up being on fun if it's like being sort of like the ice cream van. That's like the first impression I got when you said spring and like this truck. So I would think about that like kind of being like the ice cream truck
Yeah.
feeling
Oh,
of
yeah.
like,
I've already, yeah, thought about
yeah.
that. And I already have a logo and it's
The
surprise,
nice thing
surprise.
about it's what? Sorry.
Oh, it's red, blue, yellow, and green. So.
Perfect. The one thing that's nice about the whole I don't want to be perceived as cheap thing is that if people's first impression is that this is going to be affordable, they're more likely to approach you. So that's a good thing, actually. You just don't want to be like catastrophically expensive when you have that spring brand, especially if you're using primary colors, because our instinct is going to be this is going to be really affordable. That can really work in your favor, actually.
I just want to make sure I don't want to have like $4 individual sales. I want to make sure they're at least $10. So,
Well, you'll do that probably with really creative bundling and packaging. But
exactly.
I think the first impression, especially because you're going to require people to walk over to you, that this is like cheap and cheerful in the best possible sense is a really positive thing. That'll be really good. So what would be disarming is if you walked over and all you sold were like $50 t-shirts. That would be like, I wasn't expecting that, but I think you'll be fine. And where we get into like pricing strategy of bundling, you know, we bet one for this and two for this and three for this. And that's where you people still feel like they're getting a great deal, but you're making that average $10 sale that you want to make. So you're
that's
just going
to exactly
make
what I'm planning on doing. Yep.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. You got this. Awesome.
Oh, nice to meet you.
You too. Welcome. Glad you're here. Okay. Jane has a question about colors and branding.
Good morning, or I guess good afternoon where you are.
Yeah.
During our last implementation day, Nick, you showed us your brand colors, which I found really fascinating. And I know you're autumn, but what was interesting to me was how many colors you had within your color palette.
Yep.
And you have, I have pulled it up on my screen. Is there a way that I can drop that in the chat?
You have my mood board?
Yeah.
I can pull it up.
Okay. Just because I think it might be interesting while I ask these questions for other people to reference it. So
people can see what you're talking about. And actually I'll say my website just went live, which I haven't really told anyone yet because it's beta.
It's spectacular.
But we can see the, we can look at the, how the colors are used on the website because they aren't all on every page kind of thing. Okay, so where is this? It's like scrambling for files while we talk.
What I found really fascinating was the number of colors that you had that are all within the autumn palette, but obviously colors that you can pull and use together in different ways.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And also that you have words with each color.
Yes. So this is one of the things I do for my clients, this PDF here. Here are like the colors I'm using most of the time. Can you guys see that?
Yeah, this is what mine looks like. I have to say it is absolutely fantastic when she does it for you.
Thanks, Leslie. So what you see here is I've got all these colors down here, but I've just isolated up here the ones I use most often. And then what these words are what the colors, those individual colors and the sort of feelings and associations that go with them. I know how to use these because this is all in my head, but for people who are not me, this is really helpful. So you know when you're talking about anything scientific or you're trying to be warm or you're trying to be rebellious, which color to use for that section of the website or ad or whatever. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's really helpful. I found this really fascinating. I screenshotted it and I've been looking at it. With my colors in my brand, you know, I launched, I don't know, I guess about 2 years ago, and I live in Santa Fe where turquoise is a really big color. And I wanted turquoise in my brand because of that. I mean, when I think of Santa Fe and I think of New Mexico, I think of turquoise, I think of like a warm adobe brown, and I think of the bright blue sky. Mm-hmm. But I realized that those three colors aren't necessarily harmonious in terms of a color palette.
And I'll just say, like, this is the crux, I would say, of why this stuff is both hard and super useful. Because as brand owners, the only thing we have to go off of without this formula is our personal preferences, right? And what inspires us. So like when I started working with Dog, it was inspired by this French house that I had stayed at, which is why there was like this white wood and this black and white tile. And it had this, like, I had this really Frenchy kind of script font because I wanted to give it a sense of place. And to me, the best possible place I could think of was this like French mansion, basically. And that's what we do. But it's not like a French mansion has absolutely nothing to do with helping pet owners grow their businesses, right? It's just, I wanted to make it feel good. Santa Fe has probably nothing to do with Wagworthy Naturals, am I right?
Other than I'm here.
Right. So the problem that we have then is either we're really attached to something and we try and make it work, or we have to just let it all go and step into what do I want to create and start from scratch.
Okay. That's very helpful way to think about it. And when we did our last implementation day, I felt like the brand and who I am fit into, and you helped me with this, Autumn. And the interesting, again, like you talk about the difference between brand and where we are or what we're attracted to, autumn colors don't necessarily look good on me. I wear a lot of summer colors, and that's what I'm attracted to. So it's an interesting way to have to change my mindset about colors and what I like and where I am and what's a fit for my brand.
Yeah. It's really funny because now when I do this VIP work with like my fancy clients who are paying a lot of money, and I find this so funny because like I've had some really high profile clients in the pet space in America over the last month or so. And one of the first things I do is I take them through a presentation with a slide on it that basically says, you're probably not going to like this at first. It's like, I have to warn people.
It does kind of go against your instincts at first. But what I always tell people is like, well, your instincts haven't gotten you very, like, you have to try and like, just trust Nick with this. Cause it does. It kind of feels like against your instincts for first. Promise you'd like just trust Nick.
Yeah, it's really funny. Leslie's right. What I found with all my clients, like pretty much without exception, and I felt this way too when I transitioned into autumn, is they don't like it at first. It's uncomfortable for a variety of reasons. Either I don't like pink, or these are too warm, or I don't like bright colors, or I don't look good in these colors, or my house is this color and so I want to use this. There is that initial phase of, ooh, I'm not sure. A lot of people use the same language, like, I'm not sure, I need to think about it, I need to sleep on this, that kind of stuff. And then two things happen. One is, if they implement it at all, they start to see it, and they're still not sure because it's like half and half, right? They're still white, they're still black, it's not perfectly creating that color harmony. But if they go all the way to implementing it properly, they fall madly in love. The other thing that I've seen, because they're getting the feeling of the whole thing working. The other thing that I've seen is when they put it out their audience, because they're like, yeah, I trust you, Nick, but let's just test this to be sure, which I am all for. Their audience comes back using the exact same words I said they would use for the palette and for the colors. So what I always tell people is, you do not have to do this. This is a choice. This is not a command. And if you do it, you have to do it all the way for it to work. So you kind of have to be like all in or all out on, you know, implementing the process. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. And I'm curious, on these different colors that we see in your brand palette.
Yeah.
They are all, so if I went to an autumn color chart, I would see all these colors on there. How do you...
Well, the autumn color chart doesn't exist.
Okay.
I mean, I've created a few versions of that, but it's really hard because you have to basically go to every like Pantone color and classify it. And nobody does that, primarily because things on screens look really different than things on paper look really different than home decor stuff on, you know, metal and wood and whatever. So it's not quite that straightforward, but yes, if there was such a thing as these are all the autumn colors, all these colors would be on there.
So how do we figure out what is autumn?
Great question. So I know a lot of you guys are thinking this and wondering this. There's two things. One is, I only give you so much inside working with dog because this is my proprietary like method and I can't give it all away for $49 a month. So that's one piece. I couldn't like just give you everything, even though I wanted to. The other thing, and I do have more, I can support you more in this journey. If you want to come on over, I can do custom stuff for you, or I do have materials where you can DIY it as well. So that's good to know. But here's the gist of it. And for those of you who have, you know, Photoshop or into color at all, we'll be able to go a long way with this. Here's how this whole thing breaks down, which I didn't go into in the content for this month. Basically, these seasons are called seasons, and I might stop calling them seasons actually, because I think it's kind of confusing. I'm probably going to give them different names moving forward, because I think people get really stuck on it. But they're called seasons because they reflect the light and the natural patterns of each season based on how things exist in nature, right? What that means is that there's a very helpful formula for how this breaks down, okay? And this is what it is. Essentially, two groups of color. Colors that are yellow based and colors that are blue based. That's the first breakdown. And if you think about light, simply think about things that are in the sun versus things that are in the shade, right? Things in the sun have a slightly yellow hue, things in the shade have a slightly blue hue. That's how nature works, that's how light works, that's how color exists, okay? So that's where we start with all of this. Spring and autumn are yellow based. Summer and winter are blue based.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Okay.
And this is where it's still very similar to if you've had your colors done, that like color me beautiful, that whole thing. This is where it's still very similar to that, because they talk about skin tone being yellow based and blue based, essentially. Because this is how things naturally appear in nature based on light. And color is light. Light is color. That's the first breakdown, okay? Then we take those two groups and we break them into two further groups. Those that have black or gray added and those that don't. Okay, so spring and winter are more clear. There's no black or gray in them at all. And this is like proper, like really basic applied color psychology stuff, guys. Like, you're not going to be an expert after this, so don't expect that you will be, but it's helpful, I think. Summer and autumn are not crystal clear. Summer has gray added to most of the colors. So it's why summer ends up being the thing that the season that you see most often in interiors. Of the average person, because that gray makes things muted and calming generally. That's why summer is such a serene season. Almost all the colors in it, unless you start getting a little bit, you know, darker, are very soothing. And it's mostly the gray that does that. And in autumn, all the colors have a little bit of black in there. So you'll see like my red, yellow, green, and pink down here. Those are not springy, bright primaries. They're not crystal clear, shiny colors. They have a little bit of black in them. And the way my mentor describes them is they're a little bit dirty. They just look a little dirty. And the way I say when people are choosing their own colors, the way I recommend you do this is by, when you start out, stick with the ones that are really obvious. This is really obviously kind of on the yellow side. This is really obviously kind of on the blue side. This is really obviously got black in it. This is, or is dingy or darker, you know, muted in some way. And this is really obviously bright, crystal clear. And then as you kind of get used to looking at it, when you add something that's wrong, it will feel wrong.
it won't look harmonious.
Exactly. Yeah. And you'll start to have a better and better sensitivity to that. So, and then that's where the really interesting thing about applied color psychology, which is a mixture of color psychology, which is how colors make us react unconsciously. We have no control over it. And it's true for everyone with a sort of normal functioning brain in the world. This isn't a cultural thing like color association is, like red being lucky in China. That's not color psychology, that's color association. Color psychology is how it makes us feel and react. When we start to add color physics on that, that's where it's really interesting. And that's where we start talking about these groups, right? How color actually works and how it's actually divided. In color physics, where we have these four groups, there is a complete correlation between the four personality types. If you follow like Carl Jung model of personality type, which is what Myers-Briggs is based on. So if you buy into Myers-Briggs, you buy into this, it's the same thing. But it's basically, there's a complete correlation between these four groups of people that tend to exist in the world and the colors that they both prefer and look best in generally, right? Everything has an exception, but generally. So if you have an autumn personality, you are likely to look better in autumn colors. Now, most people are not fully in one. Like, I am right on the edge between spring and autumn, and I can kind of almost go either way.
I'm two as well, right? I'm summer and autumn.
There's a lot of summer autumn in the pet space, I've found.
Yeah.
So especially the ones that are yellow, you can often go in between. A lot of people can go summer, winter. A lot of people can go autumn, spring, because you're yellow based or blue based. So I don't want to spend too much more time teaching about this, because I'm sure that's not as useful as like practical implementation of it, but that's the basis. If you want to go figure this out yourself, if you're a summer, you want blue-based colors with gray added. If you are an autumn, you want colors like these, which are yellow-based colors with black added. If you are a spring, you want yellow-based colors that are clear, 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 no black at all, which is what makes spring a very tricky season for building a brand. And winter, this is where you get to use black and white. because winter is, aside from the color black, there's no black added into the colors. They're very clear, but they're very extreme blue-based colors. So that's where you have your magenta and your very blue-purple and your jade and what a lot of people would call jewel tones in some of those colors. So the thing that people find surprising is if you want to create color harmony, if you are not winter, you cannot use black and white. This is the thing I found the weirdest and most difficult when I first started learning this, is like, well, surely every brand has black, right? Surely. And if you're not using black, then you're using like navy blue, like you gotta have one or the other, and you're definitely using gray. But the reality is, if you're gonna use this formula, only if you're winter do you use black and white. So you'll see here on my PDF, I've got a really dark brown, which is my black alternative. And I've got this ivory that's in the background that I use for white. And when there's no actual white anywhere, this looks like white. It looks plenty white. If I had a big box of white on here, it would look kind of dingy and dirty. So creating that color harmony becomes important, but you can see, like you can probably even see just from the edges of the PDF where I've got Acrobat open, this light gray color of the Acrobat app looks cold compared to this. It's quite cold, and normal white and normal black would feel quite cold as well. And this is where, when you start to play with it, you start to understand. One client I had was building a website with autumn and still had white in there. So they had white backgrounds for their blog. They had a white background for their footer. They had a white logo. They had white. And I was like, I promise you, if you just get rid of the white, you are going to feel it. It's going to make sense. You're going to get it. And she did finally get rid of the white. And she was like, oh my God, it's so much better. I'm like, I know, right? and that's the color harmony at work. And that's a lot of the color physics happening, of these things working together, being within one color group and creating harmony, instead of just looking at, should we use blue, red, or green? Because of the color psychology, we're looking at color physics, meaning should we use red, blue, and green from this color group to create that color harmony, which is why pretty much everything you'll find online about color psychology isn't accurate, because they're only talking about blue. They're not talking about whether it's a summer, autumn, spring blue.
That makes sense? Thank you. Yeah, thanks, Nick. That is very helpful. I do have some questions about my own color palette, but why don't take some, because you spent a lot of time on this. So go ahead and take some other questions. And then if there's time at the end, I'll circle back.
Okay, cool.
You bet.
I'm just going to scroll through your comments here. Beth says, my mom drove me nuts with I'm an autumn. It was excruciating. Yeah, it's something our moms like get really excited about. When I told my mom I was autumn, she was like, I was sure you were spring. I was like, well, I am right in the middle. Lori says, question, I thought winter had black in it. Now you say not, can you please explain? Yeah, so with winter, here, let me dive into the PDF from this month so I can show you instead of just explain it. What I just said about winter is there's no black added to any of the colors, but black is one of the colors that's in it. And I know that's confusing, but if you get confused about this stuff, just think about the season. Like, think about that like stark silhouetted tree in a snowdrift. What colors are there? Not a lot of in between, right? You have white, you have light icy gray, you have black, you have starkness. And that's kind of what winter is all about. So it does include black, but none of these other colors have black in them. They are blue-based, clear colors right at the edge of the spectrum. Versus, let's look at the other blue-based group, summer, where you see all that gray in there, you see the difference between the clarity of these colors and how sharp they are and how sort of piercing they are and how stimulating versus these, which all have gray in and are quite soothing. So those are the two blue base. But if you look at, for example, this pink, see how blue that pink is? It's very, very blue versus look at the autumn version of pink. It feels quite warm. It's more like a salmon. So I'm not expecting you to become color experts. Certainly if you want, if this is something you really want to do and care about and implement, like I definitely recommend kind of coming over and doing a little bit more work with me because you're not going to learn this overnight. But I want to give you the basics. Depends on the warmness or coolness of the gray. Right. So which seasons do gray go with? All, if you just tone it correctly. So pretty much all the seasons have gray in them. Autumn is going to be a really sort of, it's going to be a sort of a really browny gray. Spring, I don't know if I have a gray in here. Spring is going to be a really, really light gray that's actually not, doesn't have black in it. It's not a gray made of black. It's a gray made of all the colors. So it's a really, really light, warm gray. And summer is the one that has the most grays because they're blue based. But yeah, gray can kind of be in each one. But what you start to learn when you dive into color psychology is that gray is actually a color I used to use so often in branding, but it actually doesn't have any positive psychology elements to it. It can be negative, but it doesn't really make, it doesn't have anything positive associated with it. So it can be very draining. And it can be on its best side, it can be a little bit, not soothing, but just sort of neutral. It's just pretty neutral actually, which is why a lot of us use it, especially in our homes, because it's kind of like, sort of like white. It can be a cocoon from feeling things, right? It's just neutral. But most grays actually are yellow-based or blue-based, which is not a perfect gray. So there is something to them. Spring cannot have white. Spring will have cream. It will have white with a tiny bit of yellow in it. So it can be really, 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 really light because spring colors are really light. But it's going to have a tiny bit of yellow in it, while autumn is kind of like this color in the background here for autumn. It's going to be yellow, but it also needs to have a little bit of black in it. And that color is basically called ivory. That's white. That's got a little bit of dirtiness in it. Yes, Tara has pointed out the biggest issue with spring. You'll see there's no black. There's no dark gray. There's no navy blue. The darkest colors in spring are generally in blue and purple, which makes it very difficult to get contrast. So this is something I really railed against when I was learning color psychology, because as a brand builder, this can make it a very difficult brand. It can make it very difficult to work with. And actually, I think I showed this before, but I can probably show it again. I am building a tech brand at the moment that is a spring. And it took me a very, very long time to be able to let me just do this really quick so I can pay attention. It took me a long time to be able to figure out what was going to work for them in order to get rid of black, get rid of gray, and be able to have enough contrast because of exactly what you said. And I'm just going to open that up for a minute. If you think I have a lot of colors, you should see what I've done for this other brand, which is funny actually, because I'm chatting with them right after this call, but this is where you can see how spring gets used, because it is quite challenging. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Spring, I find the hardest to work with. But the reason for that is because the way spring makes you feel, this lightness, brightness, fun, playful energy, means using those darker colors just drags it down, basically. So let's see if I can find it. Here we go. All right. Okay. So this is a really good example of the difference between primary, which is another thing people have asked me a lot about, is having primary colors versus secondary colors. So you notice on my PDF, I had a line of colors on a top row and a line of colors on a second row. The top row was primary. The second row was secondary. And that is basically how important these colors are in the brand for what they're going to make you feel. And you can see here in the Book Your Pet one, can you see this PDF? Yeah. I've put words here as well of what these colors mean. And then this is their version of white. So you can see it's not a perfect white. It's got a little bit of yellow in there. So this blue here is probably the darkest color in the brand. And it's what we use for a lot of the copy because it's the darkest and we use it on light because that's how we can get the most contrast. Here's the secondary. So now we're adding in a bit of nurturing, but we still got a lot of these blues and browns. And then we have tertiary colors or colors we use for accents and calls to action, which also have a place in the brand. They are feelings we want people to feel. They're not just random colors that we've added in for fun. But here's where I think it gets kind of cool. I needed to make a shitload of versions of these colors for the app developers to be able to use as backgrounds and overlays and that kind of thing. So in spring, you can go as light as you want. Spring can go as light, as light, as light as you want, which is really useful. You can't do that in autumn. You can't always do that in summer or winter because if you go too light, often it changes the season that it's in. But in spring, you can. And so I created all of these percentages for the developers to use within the app. And then also for our social media team, I started combining the colors together so they knew what color combinations would make people feel what, right? So we have happy and joyful, nurturing growth, communication, concentration, calming and ease. And I want you to look at these words and look at these colors and see if they resonate. Like, does this make sense to you? Does it feel that way to you based on what you're seeing there? And some of these there's a little bit of association mixed in there. Like growth is not really an emotion, is it? And then went through and added in overlays. Now, this is how you get around photography that doesn't match your season, is you can use overlays where you put one of your brand colors over the top to get rid of any colors that are really wrong for your brand. This can also work with black and white images where you just put your color over the top, but not all colors work this way. Again, because sometimes you can see how much they change when you start to make them more and more transparent. The color changes quite a lot into potentially a different color. So all of this stuff has nuances that need to be worked through, which is why I'm saying, like, I can't possibly teach you all of this inside a month of working with Dog. If it's an important part of where your brand is at right now, definitely reach out to me and I can tell you other options for you.
I would definitely, I would highly suggest it. I highly recommend it.
Thanks, Leslie. Okay, I'm just going to jump into the chat again so I can check in on your colors or your questions. Brittany, love those color combos. That way you can play with them together versus just trying them. Yes, love the overlays. Love the colors on Tackle Tinkle. So yes, Julie says, so Julie is a spring and her website is tackletinkle.com if you want to check out how she's applied spring in their brand. Especially take note of what they've done with their product images that used to have white backgrounds. Actually, I'm just going to show you because I think this is brilliant. A big issue we get into is okay, I have all these images. I don't want to redo them all, right? To do my rebrand, that's going to be really expensive and images can be edited. And so what Julie did is she very cleverly came up with a way to edit the images, and I don't want to get shit for how many tabs I have open. Someone always comments on that. It's just the way my brain works. Don't judge me. So you can see this white isn't a pure white. It's just got a little tiny bit of yellow in it. She uses the blue on top of that, and she's got plenty of contrast. But what she's done with these product images is taken out the white background and put in these glorious, clean, shiny windows, which I just think is brilliant, because how, like, that totally makes you feel like you're in this spacious, clean, warm, yummy house, doesn't it? Which is exactly what her brand is trying to make you feel like. It's cleaning product. So they want you to feel like your house is clean and sparkling and smells good and feels good. She talks about havens. And so that definitely makes me feel like my home is a haven, which is really cool. And then she's worked really hard to find images that fit her color palette. And she's done brilliantly at making sure that the photos that she uses have mostly spring colors in them. And that's how we keep this color harmony going. Now, I want you to notice this testimonial image with the little white dog on the black background. How much does that jump out at you? Because it's so dark. Right? So if she had big images on her site that were dark like that, it would absolutely kill this color harmony, because it would be too heavy. It would be totally overwhelming to the lightness and brightness and airiness of the brand. See, here's another great light, bright one. So yeah, I know she's put a lot of work into doing this rebrand, and I think she's done a beautiful job. Again, putting the product on top of a lifestyle image that fits the brand colors. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful stuff. Well done, Julie. I love shouting about Julie because I think she's implemented this beautifully, and it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. Okay, what else are we saying here? Be interesting to see how this works for a new brand, which is based around the idea of analog. And my gut is to use the color profile from Kodak Porta 160 film, which is the tones that speak to me photography wise. Okay, well, this is a great question, Kat, because this is going to be for any brand at all. The way we make these decisions, first of all, is I try and make this easy for you by giving you the quiz. So that is in this month's content, but I'll pop it in the chat here. If any of you haven't done the quiz or want to redo it for a different brand, I suggest you do that. That will kind of give you some indications on the season that you're in based on how you want to make people feel, based on the personality that your brand has, because that's what we're doing here, is we're trying to match stuff. We want the personality to feel like the words that you're saying, to feel like the products that you sell, to feel like the prices that you have, so that when people arrive, they have that word you've heard me say several times, that harmony, where they feel that instant trust and credibility because everything is harmonious. Consciously, what they can understand and read, and unconsciously, which they don't know is happening. Okay, that's why the color is so important, is because we are processing things visual 60,000 times faster than what we're reading and what we're doing consciously. So that unconscious piece is actually having way more impact than all that copy you spent all that time writing. The colors are actually doing more for or against you, depending on how well they're working and how well they're aligned. So that's why this stuff matters. So take the quiz and find out what season you're in. That will help. My instant instinct, Kat, was that a brand all about analog is going to be in autumn. That's my instant thinking, because it feels like you're going to have that slightly, I just keep thinking of like old cameras and like leather and wood and like the world that analog lived in, right? Which was very undigital and a little bit dusty, right? So I would make the decision based on how you want to make people feel and the types of images and textures and colors that feel to resonate with how you want to make people feel in this brand, because you could go any way. So for example, you could have analog, but you could do it in that way that is like really retro and cool right now. And you could have a spring brand. I think it would be hard to make people feel what you want to make them feel with an analog brand in the spring, but there's no rules about what you do or how you do it. It just depends on how you want to make people feel, which is why I always say, like, it's not my opinion. It's not your preference. Like, if you want to use the science and use it properly. If you don't, but don't do half and half. Because if you kind of half use the science, but you don't really like it, so you just change one or two things, you're going to be in a shitty, shitty middle ground of stuff that you don't like and isn't going to work. So use it or don't. if it's about slowing everything down, if it's about that peace and quiet, like we were talking about in your other brand, Kat, that might be summer. You might be going into a summer brand, or you're going to stay in the kind of not so stimulating side of autumn, but it may very well be another summer brand. If you want it to feel really peaceful, then that might be the direction that you go, which is what you have in Clan Dog, right? So that would make sense. Okay. Scrolling up. Yes, Tackle Tinkle was a spring brand. Sorry, did I miss you, Tara? Are you still here? If you are watching the recording, Tara, I saw your banner in your Instagram and I think it looks lovely. It's so pretty. In print, I was told that the white wouldn't show up, so it had to go to black, which definitely didn't look nearly as good. How do you deal with that? My daughter did a cute graphic and used some while lettering. Yeah, okay. So for anyone has black in their brand and it feels pretty essential, I would say just replace it with whatever the season version of black is. This is hard in spring because there is no black alternative, right? The closest you get is that dark blue I showed you, or maybe that kind of like a primary purple, like a violet color. The other three seasons have really good black replacements. Summer has a navy blue or a dark gray. Winter has black, and autumn has a really dark brown or a really dark teal or a really dark purple. Those are all things you can use to replace black with. Chances are this is not gonna be a just take one color out, put one color in. It's what we're talking about is a rebrand. You're gonna have to start over and you need to decide if and when you're ready for that. The point that I think it's the most important is the point of purchase, where people are having their first impression. When I talk about this now, I talk about the most important 8 seconds in your business. That's when someone's encountering you for the very first time. And that's often gonna be on your packaging or on your website, typically for most people. So that's where I think the transformation should happen first, is wherever most people are encountering you for the first time. And websites, while they are, you know, sometimes quite big projects, they are much less expensive to change than like a bunch of inventory or, you know, facilities and vans and that kind of thing. So digital is usually an easier place to start. And it's usually where people are having their first impression. But I do want you to go into the mindset of, if you want to take the next steps with using color psychology, it is a rebrand that you're looking at. It is not just switching out some colors, probably. There are things you can do with switching out colors before you do that that might be helpful. Like I had a one-on-one session when I was in California last year. Travel, remember that? And she had a brand that was black and white and red, and she was a pet photographer, and everything that she was telling me about what she wanted her brand to be and feel like was the opposite of black and white and red. And I was like, look, you're not gonna like this, but I think you should change your colors. And it was like a whole thing, and she got kind of mad at me and like really defensive about why it was the right color. And I was like, cool. But you're telling me X, Y, and Z, and your people are X, Y, and Z, and the environments that you want to shoot in are X, Y, and Z, and the homes of the people that you're shooting for are X, Y, and Z, and this is not that. So it's up to you, but it's gonna be an immediate turnoff for people. And red can be a very aggressive color. So if you're not trying to be really powerful and forceful and fast and, you know, the other things that red means, then it can be a really problematic color. So the other thing I wanted to say in response to what Beth asked is, I've had like dog trainers saying like, okay, so I give out handouts at every single one of my sessions and my group classes. Do I need to print those in color now? No, fuck no. Color printing is so expensive. But the thing about that is, okay, so you've got black and white copy is fine, and you're not a winter, fine, but people have already paid you. They're already there. They're not making up their mind about your brand with the handout that you're giving them after a class. Okay. So maybe you have a digital version that you email them that's all springy and cute. But the one that you give them, if you're printing it physically, is black and white, because ain't nobody got budget to print in color when you don't need to. So there's a huge level of practicality in this, and it's always this little dance and balance between what makes sense without bankrupting yourself, right? And how you can actually really use and leverage the science to get the most out of your first impressions and the way you make people feel, which has a huge amount to do with purchase. It has a lot to do with them buying from you because of the trust and credibility it builds or ruins. Because what happens when things aren't in harmony is, even if it's not a disaster, even if it's like, well, this doesn't feel quite right and this doesn't feel quite right, what's happening is all that stuff sort of like chips away at the trust and credibility. She says this, but I feel this. She says this, but her prices are this. I feel this, but her prices are this. I see these testimonials, but I feel this. It's these different, like, where we're feeling something different than what we're seeing or reading or perceiving. That's where we cut into that trust and credibility. When you have that harmony working like full blast, none of that happens. That's when you arrive at those brands, at those packages, in those shops or on those websites where you're like, or Instagram, I want to live here. I just want to stay in this visual bubble forever. I love it. I can't get enough of it. Probably that person has the same personality type as you and has instinctively tapped into it and has created a bubble with a lot of harmony with color and with imagery, and fonts and messaging and everything else. It just fits. And because we make our decisions emotionally, you're feeling it, you're already in. Whatever they sell, whatever it costs, you're pretty much already in at that point. It's just a matter of finding a way to work with them. Like, if you can't afford them, you save. If it's not the right time, you wait. And then you start telling everyone else you know about them because you love it so much. And that's what harmony can do. All right, I'm going to scroll way back at the top because I want to make sure. I know there were some at the beginning. I don't want to miss. Lori asks, is there a correlation between the branding autumn colors and the ones they show for clothing autumn colors? There's some correlation, right? Because we're talking about autumn. We're talking about a naturally occurring season in nature. And that's where the inspiration for this stuff comes from. It's the way light works in the autumn. And it's also the naturally occurring stuff in autumn, right? It's orange pumpkins and it's orange leaves and it's, you know, things, you know, leaves that are slightly, you know, dead. So they've got a bit of black in them. It's that rich dirt. It's those brown leather boots, you know, that we're all wearing, and it's wood. And it's, so there is a very natural, there's a very natural correlation between the actual season and the colors. The one that really throws people is when I say summer, most people think of spring colors, because spring is like fresh and alive. Think of all the energy of spring, right? It's like things are just popping and growing and colorful and bright. And actually what the summer color palette is based on is more like, think of a little bit more like Santorini or somewhere really, really hot in the Mediterranean. And how you feel and how you want to be and what happens with those colors in that environment. Everything gets bleached out, right? And when things get bleached out, the yellow and the reds go, right? It's just the blue that's left. So if you see posters that have been in a window for ages, all the red is gone, right? It's just the cold blue colors that are left. If you look at wood that used to be dark brown, it's now light gray. Everything is white stucco because, you know, that's the color that doesn't bleach out in the sun. And it's hot, right? Think of the sky when it's super, super hot. It turns into that weird, like gray blue color. It's not that bright blue from spring or from winter even. That's the one that throws people when we talk about the natural occurring season thing, is they think summer and they think the spring palette. They think the way summer is marketed to us with, like, you know, polka dots and bright colors and like barbecues. And that's not the naturally occurring, the way light works necessarily when things are really, really hot. I struggle knowing how to use colors together when branding. Yeah, we're not all designers, right? Most of us aren't. So this is why it's very, very helpful to work with people who are, because especially if you're going to invest in a rebrand, I definitely recommend bringing in someone, you know, even like if you were to work with me one-to-one, I give you the stuff, but you still are going to have to continually implement in your business for years on, right? You're going to need a designer that you work with and trust, who gets onboarded with the color stuff and can use it effectively and can make shit for you. You can get that, you know, genius who does your branding. You can get that genius who does your website, but moving forward, you're just going to need people who can make stuff for you on an ongoing basis that looks nice. And my recommendation is either you buy templates from a place like Creative Market, which you can find at creativemarket.com. They have some really great stuff. Find something you like the look of, tweak it to match your stuff and use it, but don't tweak it like fill it with a whole bunch more text and change everything and move it around, because the layout is what it is because it's nice and spacious and clean and that's why you liked it. Don't go filling it up with a bunch of shit. So that's like a really easy way to get really good design if you're not a designer. As far as knowing the colors to use together, that's going to be about two primary things. It's going to be about contrast and making sure there's the right amount of contrast so that you can read stuff. And it's going to be about, now that you're in the color psychology world, it's going to be about getting the psychology right. So you're actually trying to make people feel the way you're trying to make them feel, instead of just, I like blue or I like red. It's, oh, actually I'm talking about something being really fast. I'm going to use red. I'm talking about like, so for example, dark blue, and this, all this stuff is in your PDF this month. Dark blue is really associated with being mentally stimulating. So anytime you're talking about learning, this is actually also connected with trust. Anytime there's a bit of authority built in there because you want to make people feel smart, and people feel smart. And then when they feel smart for looking at you, and it builds in this authority. So using the colors based on what you're talking about or how you want to make people feel, instead of just willy-nilly based on what you think. This has been really interesting because I've done a brand for my husband and he has a cycling company, and he was like, it's all about adventure. I'm like, orange. He's like, really? I'm like, orange. He's like, okay. So he's an autumn, and he's built this great cycling brand called Glorious Gravel that is a really solid autumn, and it's orange and green, basically, which are not colors he probably would have picked on his own, because everyone in cycling goes winter and they go black and white and pink, or black and white and something. Everyone wants to be like a really premium sort of pretentious wanker. Lori says, I know that I'm more autumn with a winter vibe, but I struggle diving full in because autumn feels so cluttered. Lots of stuff, woodsy, and I want to feel more clean, crisp, but I want to build community, trust, learning. I also want to be aspirational and inspiring. Yeah, it does make sense. Let me show you, Lori, let me show you guys my website that I just put up, because I switched at the last minute and I really de-autumned myself quite a bit. And I added a lot more winter vibes in because I'm now working with a lot more, much, much larger companies. And so I wanted to be a little less quirky, and I wanted to go a little bit more towards this like excellence. So I'll just show you that really quick. And you can see how the palette, actually I'll show you the palette first so you can see what we're looking at. This was the palette for my website. And you can see what we ended up with the actual site. And then I'm going to have to go quite quickly because I have to jump on another call. I wish we had longer today. I'm sorry that we don't. So this is my new website, the best kept secret in marketing. And this is autumn. So everything in here, this will be an autumn harmony. You see, I've got wood there, but it's behind a color. My testimonial photo, not perfect autumn. I could change it or put an overlay, but I kind of didn't want to mess with Laura's photo. My picture of me is autumn, although you can see I'm wearing a black jumper and that kind of kills the vibe. I have a version of that photo where it's edited brown and I just obviously used the wrong one. But this is clean, it's uncluttered. It's not super woodsy and outdoorsy, but it is autumn. So that gives you a good idea. And you can see how subtly I've used pink here as well. And I've used it when I want to make people feel nurtured. Whereas you'll see a lot of this is the blue and the brown and the purple because of the way those make people feel, and that's what I want to make people feel. Winter vibes though, for sure, so crisp and clean. Yeah, yeah, it's definitely much more winter than I have been in the past. Okay, my friends. Thank you, Leslie. Anyone have anything last minute super urgent they want to make sure to get through that I've missed? I will just say that is my website. If you want to know more about this stuff, find me there or ask me in the Facebook group. Genevieve, go ahead.
Hi, Nick. Can you hear? Okay, you hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
I just have a quick question. I told you in the first question I asked that I did a session that the color wasn't so on brand finally because of the light, but yeah. The customer wanted to do the session early because I'm here only for 5 days. So yeah. I accepted it, but now I have some regrets. Do you offer like a rabais, a discount on the session because I'm not satisfied with the result, or what can I do? Because it's not my regular work, you know, it's not the same light, it's not the quality that I like, but I know for her, she's going to be happy, but I'm not. So,
yeah. I would say just give it to her and see what she says. Cause 9 times out of 10, the client is absolutely thrilled, right? Okay. Not every shoot needs to be portfolio work, and not everybody likes exactly what we like. So I would say, give it to her, you know, don't be too honest about how you feel. Just hold back a little bit, see what she says. And if you sense any reservation from her, then start the conversation around, now, because we did this time of day, this is not my favorite light. And what I would offer typically is I would offer sometimes a reshoot if I just wasn't happy with something. If that's, you're just there temporarily, then I would say maybe just give her a free product of some kind and just say, you know, I'd be happy to shoot you again at a discount, or you will know instinctively the right thing to do, but give it a chance, because most often what I find is that, people are way thrilled. Like, we're super critical. They don't care whether it's your on brand or not. They just love it.
Okay, good. I will be back in a few weeks, like in August. So maybe if she says something, I will offer, like you said, a discount on the next session in August or something. But I would, if I wouldn't talk to you, I would like discount everything right away because I'm not.
I know, because of our insecurity, right? We're so insecure as artists. I know. And what I would say is, this is just a really good lesson for you, that you're just not happy when you don't do it your way. So just make sure you do it your way and you don't let people talk you into doing it their way.
Yes, I know. And because it was a client that I had 2 years ago, I wanted her to be happy. She wanted a session so bad, and I'm only here for a few days. So I said, oh, okay, maybe clouds will be okay. But I was, oh my God. And the dogs were awful. And we had a 10-month-old baby. It was perfect. Oh. But the rescue dogs of 4 years and the puppies, the puppy is only 4 months. It was crazy, and oh my God, I was going nuts, and I was trying to be calm, but inside I was like a tornado, like oh my God, oh my God.
So, oh man, that's so hard. Yeah, it sounds like you did a great job in the circumstances, and I bet she'll actually be quite happy, which is what, when I've had experiences like that in the past. And if she's not happy, you just try again.
Okay, good. And if I want to share something, a good news with you, do I write it on in Working with Dog, or?
Yeah, or you can email me if you want it to be private. But if it's a win, then share it publicly so we can all cheer for you.
It's something new that I'm kind of adding to my brand.
Awesome. Yeah, do a post about it in the group and tag me.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome. Okay, Allison, make it quick. I gotta go.
Sure. Yeah. My mind is on recurring revenue these days. And I was wondering if you had any thoughts or opinions on, for my photography business, some sort of like almost membership for my clients that come back every year that they can pay in installments and then have like priority booking come the busy season, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. a way to basically spread out maybe their session fee and or product payments.
I love this for photographers. I love it for private clients and I love it for businesses. I think a subscription or membership model for getting clients who are repeat bookers what they want and just making it easy for them is brilliant. And you can do it like 2 shoots a year. You can do 3 shoots a year. You can do 1 shoot a year spread out. But yes, I think looking at that model is brilliant.
Holidays, birthdays, for all the holiday, you know, get them all pre-booked. I would love that if I was hiring. You get a book.
Yeah. It's good, isn't it? Because so much of it is just, we just don't want to take the effort to book, to get in touch, to book the day, da da da. So yeah, I think looking at that model is a really, really good idea. And I think we'll start to see more people moving to that model.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if it would work for private clients, if they would feel a strong enough need to do that.
Try it. That's something I can work on. What's the worst that could happen? I've seen it work for private clients.
I would do it.
I've seen, there are some photographers who are starting to try it, and I've seen it work.
Cool.
So yeah.
Thank you.
I think it's great. All right, my friends, I'm sorry that I have to run. I would spend another 2 hours talking about this. If I could, absolutely tag me in the Facebook group.
Thank you.
I will do the best I can to answer you, and certainly reach out to me through Working with Dog or through my website if you have more questions or want to find ways to go deeper on this stuff. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.